I know I feel better overall when I get outside and I get active. But when I don't have the right gear, especially when the weather is unpredictable this spring, it's harder to live that life that I really want. And that's why I'm sort of obsessed now with my Vessi shoes. I have two pairs, and I'm literally wearing at least one of them every day because Vessis are so comfortable, they're easy to get on and off when I'm on the go, and they are super stylish. I love how they look. Plus, get this, they're also 100% waterproof. And I really turn to my Stormburst high tops when I'm ready for a bit more adventuring out and about. They are so versatile, though. I can wear them for everyday errands and getting things done, or taking them into the elements, from beach days to walking around the city to a rainy day hike. Elevate your spring wardrobe with Vessi's Stormburst shoes. Discover more at vessi.com/newsworthy. Get your pair today to get an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout and be ready to step out in style, rain or shine. Trust me, you will not regret this. Go to vessi.com/newsworthy to get your new favorite shoes with an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout. Today is Tuesday, April 23rd. We're talking about intense protests across several college campuses that have left some students so shaken that at least one university has decided to hold remote classes. Also, how prosecutors opened the first ever criminal case against a former American president and what's expected during the trial today. Plus, you've probably seen this store at every mall, but now it's going bankrupt. Where America's first high-speed rail is now under construction. And who is joining the coveted Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year? Those stories and more news to know today, next. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Campus tensions over the war in Gaza continue to escalate across the U.S. Several pro-Palestinian protesters ended up getting arrested at both NYU and Yale yesterday. And remember, just last week, there were also more than 100 people arrested at Columbia University. Columbia even moved its main campus to a hybrid schedule for the rest of the semester in response to the turmoil, meaning any classes that are able to go virtual will. And those aren't the only places where tensions are high. Pro-Palestinian encampments have also been set up at the University of Michigan, MIT, and elsewhere. Protesters are demanding their schools condemn Israel for its part in the Israel-Hamas war, and they want their schools to divest from companies that sell weapons to Israel. But administrators say the protests have become disorderly, disruptive, and at times intimidating. They point to instances of protesters chanting that Israel should be destroyed, and some even saying they would repeat the brutal attacks of October 7th. And many Jewish students have also said much of the criticism toward Israel has veered into anti-Semitism, making them feel unsafe. Though others say they're worried the most extreme viewpoints will end up causing everyone's freedom of speech to be threatened, and many others are protesting peacefully. So many school administrators and faculty have said they're going to be working this week to find a solution to this situation, and they're hoping this crisis doesn't end up disrupting important milestones like graduation. To be continued. Today, former President Trump's criminal trial is being put on hold. Before testimony can get going for the day, prosecutors are going to try to persuade a judge that Trump deserves an immediate punishment. They say Trump has repeatedly violated a gag order that says he cannot attack witnesses, jurors, and others involved in the hush money case. They point to several online posts that Trump has made on his Truth Social account and in articles posted on his official campaign website. But Trump's lawyers say their client should get the right to defend himself, especially since the witnesses are able to say things about him in the media. If the judge agrees with prosecutors that he did defy a gag order, he could get anything from a warning to a fine to a short stint in jail. Once today's contempt hearing is out of the way, the actual trial will continue. Already, prosecutors laid out their case in opening statements yesterday. They detailed a story accusing the former president of coordinating a criminal conspiracy to cover up sex scandals that threatened his presidential campaign. One prosecutor even called it election fraud. Then Trump's team laid out the defense. His lead lawyer argued, quote, "There's nothing wrong with trying to influence an election. It's called democracy." And he said the charges really just amounted to a minor business records violation. Once opening statements wrapped up, the jury heard from the trial's first witness, David Pecker. He's the National Enquirer's former publisher, who's accused of being part of a scheme to weed out stories that painted Trump in a bad light. Pecker will face more questioning from prosecutors today than cross-examination from Trump's lawyers. As you know, Trump faces 34 felony counts of falsifying business records. He's pleading not guilty. Overall, the trial is expected to last 6 weeks. It's election day for one of the country's most important battleground states. Pennsylvania is holding primaries today with some high-profile races on the ballots. Of course, there's the presidential race, but there will also be a closely watched U.S. Senate contest and several competitive House races in November. So today, Pennsylvania primary voters will pick their nominees for those races too, determining just how competitive they'll be come fall. They're also weighing in on a few key statewide offices. As of today, there are 196 days until the general election. Most American nursing homes are going to have to start hiring. The Biden administration finalized the first ever minimum staffing rule for skilled nursing facilities this week. It requires a registered nurse be on site for 24 hours, 7 days a week. It also mandates enough staff to give every resident at least 3.5 hours of care each day. And it beefs up rules for assessing the care needs of each resident, boosting staff numbers even more to care for sick people. But not everyone is happy about it. Industry lobbyists say it's just unworkable, with staffing goals that are impossible to achieve because of worker shortages. So rural facilities may be forced to close. In fact, an industry study found nearly all nursing homes would not meet the new standards. But the Health and Human Services Secretary defends the plan, saying if you can't find nurses, then you're not really running a nursing home anyway. And other advocates say operators could attract more workers if they pay them more. Nursing home owners in urban areas will have 2 years to comply with the rules, while rural owners will get 3 years. Ground was broken this week on America's first true high-speed rail. The project is designed to connect Southern California and Las Vegas through the Mojave Desert. The company behind it says the whole 218-mile route will take about 2 hours. That's about half the time it takes for people to drive themselves. For that to happen, the train will average speeds of about 115 miles an hour and reach a top speed of about 200 miles an hour. The project received $3 billion from the bipartisan infrastructure law. Another $9 billion will be privately funded. The goal is for it to be fully operational in 2028. We have more news for you still coming up. But first, thanks to our sponsor, Skims. You all know now that I've been wearing Skims for a while, and I have been loving everything I got from there. So, of course, I went back for more. This time, I found the best-fitting tees. From cropped silhouettes to long-sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. And each style can be worn in so many different ways. I reach for my cotton jersey t-shirt almost every day now because, one, the fit is perfect. Two, the fabric is really smooth, soft, and comfortable. And three, it's versatile. It looks great whether I'm dressing it way down with joggers and sneakers or throwing on a blazer, jewelry, and heels with my favorite jeans for a fancy girls' night out. Or even wearing it with dress pants or a skirt for a work conference. The options are endless. Skims t-shirts are truly wardrobe staples for me now. So go shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know that I sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows. Okay, now back to the news. President Biden is leaning into initiatives meant to combat climate change. Just this week, he announced $7 billion in federal grants for neighborhood solar projects. The grants will apparently serve more than 900,000 households in low and middle income communities. And the EPA says that will not only lower emissions, but save households $350 million a year. President Biden also announced the first 2,000 openings in his American Climate Corps Green Jobs program that are available now. Remember, this American Climate Corps is a training program that pays participants and is supposed to pave the way for green jobs in either the public or private sector. For example, jobs that include restoring land, deploying clean energy, and improving communities' resilience to natural disasters. Biden also promoted 3 states that are launching their own state-based Climate Corps, Vermont, New Mexico, and Illinois, and encouraged other states to do the same. A high-fashion merger is facing a new setback. The FTC sued to stop an $8.5 billion deal that would combine the parent company of Coach, Stuart Weitzman, and Kate Spade with the owner of Michael Kors, Jimmy Choo, and Versace. The plan was for the combined companies to all operate under the same name, Tapestry. But the FTC now says the merger would hurt shoppers by reducing competition and raising prices. Plus, it says hourly workers stand to lose higher wages and better benefits when there's no longer a rivalry between the fashion powerhouses. Tapestry, though, disagrees, saying even after the merger, it would face plenty of competitive pressures. This is just the latest effort by the FTC under the Biden administration to crack down on mega mergers. It has also sued to block the merger of supermarket giants, airlines, tech companies, and so on. A trendy mall staple is now filing for bankruptcy. Express filed for bankruptcy protection and announced it's going to be closing about 100 stores. At one point, the retailer was incredibly popular. But lately, the chain has been losing shoppers and money, likely because people have been dressing less formal and more casual for work. On top of the bankruptcy, Express is now getting sold to an investor group and consolidating as part of a turnaround strategy. Most of the closures will impact Express's namesake stores, but the company also owns Upwest, and some of those locations will close too. Closing sales are expected to start today. A leading celebrity fashion designer is now headed to prison for smuggling handbags into the U.S. Nancy Gonzalez is known for her animal skin-based accessories that have been used to style stars like Britney Spears, Victoria Beckham, Salma Hayek, and the cast of Sex and the City. The issue is, many of her pricey handbags were made from protected wildlife. And the Justice Department says she recruited couriers to carry them on commercial flights. From there, the handbags ended up in high-end showrooms and New York fashion events. Gonzalez's lawyers requested leniency, saying she's already paid for her crimes since the company she built declared bankruptcy and stopped operating after her arrest. In the end, a judge sentenced her to 18 months in prison. It's one of the music industry's most prestigious honors, induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And this year's induction includes artists that span several genres, like rock, hip-hop, and R&B. The class of 2024 was announced this week. Think Cher, Mary J. Blige, Dave Matthews Band, Foreigner, Ozzy Osbourne, A Tribe Called Quest, and more. Musicians become eligible for the Hall of Fame 25 years after the release of their first single or album. They were chosen by more than 1,000 artists, historians, music industry professionals, and fans. This year's induction ceremony is set for October. That's it for the main news today, so now it's time for Trivia Tuesday, when we ask a different trivia question every week. But first, a quick break to talk about our sponsor, Trade Coffee. Trade Coffee believes anyone can make great coffee at home. All you need is access to the best beans, roasted to order, and curated for your personal taste, which is exactly what they provide. Thanks to their in-house team of coffee experts, 50-plus small-batch specialty coffee partners, and more than 450 rotating roasts. Not only are you going to love this, but also it's not too early to start thinking of the perfect gift for mom, dad, graduates, or your best friend getting married this season. Listen, you cannot go wrong with a gift when you're giving them better coffee delivered conveniently to their door. Because I've been loving the coffee I've been drinking from Trade Coffee, but I also love the excited feeling I'm getting every time a new package arrives. Even though it's curated to my preferences, there's still this element of surprise and fun when it comes. So, do you love coffee as much as I do? If so, you need to try Trade today. And for a limited time, you can enjoy a free bag and up to $15 off select plans when you visit my link, drinktrade.com/newsworthy. That's drinktrade.com/newsworthy for a free bag of coffee and up to $15 off select plans. drinktrade.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to Trivia Tuesday. Today's trivia question is, the book The Da Vinci Code opens with a murder in which famous museum? You can play along with us in our weekly roundup email that comes out each Friday. As for last week's trivia question, when was Earth Day first celebrated? The answer is 1970. It was a U.S. senator from Wisconsin who organized the first national demonstration to raise awareness about environmental issues. He chose April 22nd because it worked well for college students. The date fell on a weekday during the school year, and the weather was mild enough for people to be outside. Well, rallies happened all around the country, with more than 20 million people participating in that very first Earth Day. And by the end of the year, the U.S. had created the Environmental Protection Agency. Earth Day also led to the passage of the Clean Water and Endangered Species Act. Now more than 1 billion people in almost 200 countries mark the occasion. And it's done a lot of good over the years, raising awareness for environmental issues and inspiring people everywhere to plant trees, clean up their neighborhoods, and a lot more. All right, thank you so much for listening and making us part of your daily routine. We'll be back with another news roundup for you tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.